Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
First this morning, I want to welcome Tony McDowell, who is the deputy county manager for Henrico County. He handles public safety and health. And Tony, I'm really glad to have you back on the air today to kind of give us an update on where things stand in Henrico. Can I start by asking for your latest information on the outbreak that appears to have occurred at that Canterbury Rehabilitation Center, which is about a mile from where I'm sitting in my home right now? What do we know?
Yes, good morning, John. Absolutely. Certainly a very concerning situation at Canterbury. Henrico County is working through our health department and with the State Department of Health and a number of other organizations to assist that facility. And it appears that we're gaining some traction in terms of preventing the spread of the illness. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have a very vulnerable population in any nursing home, but in this one in particular where we had an outbreak, we had a number of staff members who were infected. And so some very strict, far more strenuous practices than what you would normally see in any licensed care facility have been put into place with decontamination procedures for staff as they come and go. No visitation for the residents and so forth. And so we've seen a sort of a flattening of the curve at the facility. I will tell you that our health department yesterday was able to go in and test every single resident. And as those results come back, we will see how many of the folks have infections. And so we may see the numbers go up. But in terms of what we've seen the last few days, it has sort of flattened out or leveled. So we're hoping that we can get this under control.
So what do you do? How many people are actually patients or residents there? And if they come up as positive, do you immediately move them to a different wing or different section of the building? What's the plan to try to contain that for the residents? And then the next question, of course, is the poor staff and the nurses and the doctors. I mean, I would assume they're still living their regular lives on some level.
Right. So the facility can house about, I don't have the exact number, they can house about 160 residents, and they were mostly full. And so the plan is that as folks are diagnosed with symptoms or if they test positive for COVID-19, is to do exactly that. It's to keep them in isolation from the other residents, to provide them with the care that they need. And if necessary, they may have to be moved to a full-service hospital. Because of the nature of this facility and the general health condition of some of the residents, there's a number of those residents who are in palliative care to begin with, so hospice care. And that means that they've already made their wishes known that if they became terminally ill from any condition, that they wouldn't want further interventions. And that's been the case with some of the residents who tested positive for COVID-19. So in that case, the plan was to provide them with the palliative care in place in the facility. Mm-hmm. So they would not necessarily be transported out to a hospital. Mm-hmm. That quite honestly helps to contain the spread of the illness as well and preserve the capacity of the hospitals to respond to the disease overall. So that's been the plan at Canterbury, and moving forward, we'll focus on continuing to treat them and keep
people
in isolation.
Do you know what the numbers are right now?
You know, they get updated daily, and I haven't seen the numbers as of this morning.
Yeah. So my next question, and this crossed my mind, I guess I'm not the only person who would think about this, not to be selfish, but when I went to the grocery, which is about 2 miles from Canterbury, and you know, tried to make it a quick trip and just fill my cart and get the heck out of there. The thought crossed my mind, well, what do the nurses and the doctors who work at this facility leave and they have to feed their families? They probably go to the same grocery store. What's being done to try to make sure that, A, we know whether they test positive? God, what an awful situation that would be. And even if they don't test positive, to make sure they don't accidentally spread this somehow.
Well, they have tested their staff, and the ones who've tested positive have gone into self-isolation, and they've been receiving help from contract nursing firms and even nursing students and so forth with the help of the Henrico Health Department. Mm-hmm. And we're making sure that those folks are properly screened and they're following all the best practices as far as the use of personal protective equipment and going through a process of, you know, changing clothes, showering, going through a decontamination process when they leave the facility. But
I see.
Here's the thing, John, when you're at the grocery store or anywhere out in the public, I think the safest approach is just to assume or expect that this disease, this illness it's in the community, and it's no way of knowing what door handle does or doesn't have the virus on it, which is why the health department and all of our leaders are suggesting that people wash their hands frequently, that you're very careful about what you do and where you go, and that you only make that trip to the grocery store when you really need to, and just make sure that you are washing your hands and not touching your face and that sort of thing to help prevent the spread.
Yeah, well, it becomes very real when you realize that a facility nearby is dealing with that. I mean, what a horrible situation to be in. I got to ask you, because we did talk to your counterpart in Chesterfield earlier in the program, and it sounds like they've had to make the difficult decision to furlough a lot of their employees starting April 4th. Where do things stand for Henrico employees? Are you all faced with the same situation?
Well, all local governments in the state of Virginia as well are facing revenue shortfalls, and it's concerning. Our finance team is looking at our budget for the current year as well as for the fiscal year that starts on July 1st. But I can tell you that we are not, at this point, we're not evaluating layoffs or furloughs. In fact, Henrico County, since 1611, we've never laid off an employee, and we don't plan to start now. Oof. We are looking at a number of options that we have to maybe move some planned expenditures down the road a little bit, mm-hmm. as far as some of our initiatives and that sort of thing. And, you know, as a county employee, I'd be willing to take, you know, a pay reduction if it meant that we didn't have to furlough someone. I think a lot of people that I work with, a lot of my coworkers feel the same way. So we're going to do everything in our power to avoid layoffs and furloughs. Now, we're pretty lean to begin with. So anytime we talk about, or if there's a consideration of not filling a position, or I don't think we're going to ever have layoffs, but if we did, that would mean, you know, an impact on services, and we certainly don't want to do that to our community, to our citizens who expect services from the county.
Well, it's a tough spot for everybody to be in, and I appreciate you coming on to talk about that practical issue in Henrico County and the other issue, which is the economic fallout from this situation. Tony McDowell is the deputy county manager of Henrico. He handles public safety and health. And please do, you know, call me if there's any new information that you want to get out to the public. We'll make sure you get on the air, Tony. Thank you.
Great, John. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.